have to give up.
I gave you the first, was it the first 50? We have enough to cover. I'm sorry if somebody, could I borrow yours? It'll help me to find the right answer. During the month of May, we're concentrating on the true devotion to Mary. And, as you know, the author was St. Louis de Montfort. First, true or false? Devotion is a readiness of our will to do the will of God. That's it. Devotion is interior. It is in the will. It is neither in the emotions, nor is it in what we do externally. A person may be devout externally and not have devotion internally. The word itself, devotion, comes from the Latin de volvere. Volvere is the same as to give oneself and give oneself entirely to something here, entirely to doing the will of God. Number two, we are as ready to do God's will as we are ready to sacrifice our self-will to His. Yes. And notice, the real issue is the readiness, the being willing to do God's will. Of some people, God requires more than of others. What really matters in His eyes is our readiness, our willingness, and here to sacrifice our self-will. Every other sacrifice depends on this sacrifice of our self-will. Who remembers what sacrifice means? Sacrifice is the surrender of
something
precious to God. Anything is only as precious as we want it. Okay? If I want something, it is precious to me. And consequently, the real sacrifice and the most fundamental that we can make is of our self-will. You might ask yourself, well, what other kind of will do I have except self-will? What do we mean by self-will? We all want. That's the will. But what do we most want? What do we want? We want that which is, which is satisfying, which is pleasing. Pleasing to whom? First and mainly to myself. And it is that sacrifice of our self-will that is the condition for our doing God's will. Am I saying that God's will sometimes requires that we displease ourselves? Can God ask us to do things which we don't like to do? And that is why the fewer likes you have, the simpler life becomes. Is everything we like to be loved? Are we to love everything we like? We like what we want. God often wants what we don't like. So we sacrifice our likes to the will of God. 3. Mary practiced perfect devotion to the divine will. Yes. Why? Because her will was always perfectly ready to do God's will. Last night I was up to 11 o'clock dictating. A person came over that I could dictate an article to. 11 o'clock, I finished. And I was just getting an article on St. Louis de Montfort. And I was commenting on what St. Louis says regarding the true devotion to Mary. Because he says, and he names them, seven false devotions to Mary. And one of the false devotions to Mary is external devotion to Mary. People say all kinds of rosaries. They make all kinds of pilgrimages. They couldn't count the number of Hail Marys they recite. And well, they will wear blue in honor of Our Lady. All kinds of ways in which they will show devotion to Our Lady, says Louis de Montfort. One form of false devotion to Our Lady is if it is only external devotion. What is internal devotion? Internal devotion is imitating Mary in her submission to the divine will. That is true devotion. Everything else is spurious, artificial. And I'm afraid many people practice artificial devotion to Mary. Number 5. We cannot give ourselves entirely to Mary, who is a creature, and also belong entirely to her Son, who is God. Well, we can, but we have to explain. When St. Louis de Montfort speaks of the true devotion as giving oneself entirely to Mary, really, the adjective better, the preposition that should be used is giving ourselves entirely through Mary to her Son. That's what the true devotion means. It is not as though she's somehow in competition with her Son. No. We give ourselves to her Son indeed, but through her, in other words, following her example and through the grace that she obtains from him for us to do his will. 6. Our merits are what we earn by cooperating with the grace of God. Yes, that's what merit means. Merit means wage. Merit means payment. Merit means salary. In other words, we have a free will. If we use our free will according to the will of God, and with a state of grace when we do it, we will get paid, mazuma, for what we are doing. Number 7. If we give our merits to the Blessed Virgin, we will be giving up what does not belong to us. No, and I repeat the preposition, St. Louis de Montfort has some difficulty being canonized. And his biggest problem was the true devotion to Mary. His language, well, is not always perfect theology. As we even Teresa of Avila, remember, when she advised to get a good confessor, she said, if I had a choice between a confessor who knew his theology and one who was very holy but did not understand his theology, I would choose the one who knows his theology, even if he wasn't a saint. The language of the saints is not always the language of theology. So that is not true, provided we understand what Louis, St. Louis de Montfort, meant. Or let's say, what the Church says that he meant. If we give our merits through the Blessed Virgin, there are two prepositions we should always use regarding Our Lady. They are the prepositions through and for. We are to go through Mary to Christ. And even when we say we pray to Mary, strictly speaking, we don't. Strictly speaking, we are praying through Mary to her divine Son. And what are we doing? We are asking her to pray, and now the next preposition, for us. Let's say the second part of the Hail Mary together. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Okay. Number 8. Nature is what we are conceived and born with when we come into this world. That's right. That's what nature means. From the Latin word natus, from man, or nata, born. Or nativitas, which means birth. Nativity. So our nature is that with which we are conceived and born. What do we not have when we are conceived or born? We don't have grace. Now, using the word nature, and then my day is made. Using the word nature, how would you describe grace? Grace is what? Grace is?
Supernature.
Did you say supernature? Gee, I heard that even without my hearing aid. Grace is supernature. Grace is more than nature. Grace is above nature. You're not born with grace. That's why, Daniel, were you there when I baptized the baby in St. Joseph's Church Sunday? I baptized baby boy. the name is, Father's name is David. So I began the ceremony. I asked the parents, what do you ask for David Paul? The mother shouted, oh, Father, it's not David Paul, it's Paul David. That's one name I will not forget. He's very, very generous of the Father. You know who that was? The man that I received into the church. Remember here? St. Dominic? He had a baby. See, they were married. Just a few months before the baby came. You know the situation, don't you? So she was, because it's public knowledge, she used to be a Catholic. Then she probably thought she was safe by marrying a Protestant. Well, what a mistake. He turned Catholic. He told his wife he wants to live with a Catholic wife. So she came back to the church, and he made his first communion. He was baptized here, next door. She was carrying the baby then. At any rate, so the baby was born, and I baptized it last Sunday. When the baby was baptized, and I have so few baptisms that I describe all the baptisms that I've had. When I pour the water on the baby, it screamed. Somebody wanted to get in? And the baby, in screaming, had its mouth open. And some of the water got into the mouth. So what? That's for the baby. I was just saying, Father, that I baptized the baby of the man, remember, that we received at the church not too long ago at St. Dominic's, David Armstrong. They had a baby.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And they named him Paul David. I was just saying, when I began the baptism, I asked the parents, what are you asking for David Paul? The mother screamed. She said, Father, it's Paul David. Okay. Number 9. Grace is what we need beyond our nature to reach our heavenly destiny. That's it. And don't anybody tell you that nobody can see grace. Question: can anybody see the soul? Is there a difference between a living human being and a corpse? What's the difference? The corpse has no soul. Now, just as the body without the soul is a corpse, so the soul without grace is, well, a supernatural corpse. Number 10. Absolutely speaking, we do not give up our merits when we give them to Our Lady. Correct. Over the years, in teaching the true devotion, I would never teach the true devotion till I convinced myself that it was good theology. But I had to do a few things with the language of St. Louis de Montfort. I'll talk about it in heaven when I get there. So, whatever you read in St. Louis de Montfort, number 10, we do not give up our merits when we give them to Our Lady. She likes the language, you know, we give her all our merits. And she smiles. But she knows better. Number 11. It is wrong to desire a heavenly reward for our good works. No. And here too, people can misunderstand St. Louis de Montfort. They give up even the prospect of heaven. Well, it's a nice gesture. But even the most perfect love of God, though psychologically we can say, Lord, I love you only for yourself and not for the reward you're going to give me. So he says, well, I appreciate what you're telling me, but I know better. We cannot love God. We cannot without wanting to be rewarded by God. Why not? Because God wants to reward us. And we cannot say we love God if we don't want what He wants. Number 13. Our Lady's love for God was so great that she did not want any recompense for her practice of virtue. False. That's not true. Now I repeat. Look, I could have published the same book, but I would have omitted St. Louis de Montfort. If I could not satisfy what I know about my faith with his theology. And he was a mystic. The language of mystics can sometimes be very mysterious and has to be interpreted. 14. The more perfectly we imitate Mary, the less do we want to be rewarded for doing the will of her Son. False. See what I'm trying to get across? And I'm repeating the same thing from different angles to make sure you never either tell our Lord or our Lady. I know that lesser mortals look for reward for their good works. But thanks, dear Mother, having raised me to such spiritual heights. I don't want to be rewarded. You what? We can tell our Lord or our Lady that we love them, love God for Himself. And psychologically, the reason why I do something, maybe, out of the pure love of God. But objectively, in reality, no matter how perfect or pure a love of God is, in reality, God always rewards whatever we do according to His will. 15. Every sin incurs guilt and penalty before God. Who remembers what... Oh, I've got the answer coming up, so I've given you the answer. The answer, of course, is true for number 15. 16. Guilt is a greater or less loss of divine grace as a result of sin. Yes. There are two G's that always go together, and they are guilt and grace. Guilt always means the loss of grace. But you've got to know what grace is, otherwise you won't even know what guilt means. And that is why so much of modern psychiatry so much of modern psychology. I know I'm being recorded. He is a racket. The deepest problem in human beings is sense of guilt. They may not even know why they feel guilty. But our faith tells us guilt is a loss of grace. And grace is God's love for us. We lose more or less of the love of God every time we sin. Number 17, penalty is the debt of eternal or temporal suffering incurred because of sin committed. Yes. In other words, just because I've sinned, I owe God suffering. I've got only one option. Only one, not two, only one option. Either to suffer here or suffer hereafter. I may have said this before, but I entered the Society of Jesus. How little I knew about my faith. I finished college. But I figured, I've got sins to expiate. And I've heard enough about living and the religious life to know it wouldn't be all that easy. Well, I was not disappointed. The inconvenience, not having so many things that we would naturally like you sisters. When I look at a group of sisters in a religious habit, I tell them, nothing but God's grace could make, I don't say four sisters, but even two. When I talk to a convert of 200, but even two, to dress exactly the same, women just don't do that. They just don't. After a while, I'm sure you sisters get used to, in your religious habit. That's the way I am. But human nature is not that way. And there are so many sacrifices. I'm speaking to sisters, but all of us. And one reason for becoming a widow, in case you don't know, sisters, is to expiate our sins. And when you find living in community is difficult, thank the Lord. We don't tell one another, now, sister, I am so grateful for you giving me a chance. You caused me so much pain that I know I'm expiating my sins. Thank you, dear sister. Thank you. Eighteen. Mary never had any guilt on her soul. Right. Notice what it was saying. Mary never lost any grace. And that, by the way, is what we should imitate Our Lady in. Did Mary gain grace? Did she ever lose grace? Was the only way of losing grace? By sinning. Number 19. Mary united her sufferings with those of her son to cooperate equally with him in the salvation of the world. Sisters, you should have been suspicious. The longer the statement, suspect there's something wrong with it. What do you think is the suspicious word. Please?
Equally.
Yes, see? See, there are two ways of being wrong. You can be wrong and not be responsible for being wrong. You can be wrong but be responsible for being wrong. Now, I was hoping that everybody would read that sentence carefully. And the word equally makes it wrong. Now, there are people who can praise Our Lady so much that they place her on the same level almost with Christ. Watch it. Number 20. By consecrating ourselves to Mary, we give her our merits, graces, and virtues. That's what St. Louis de Montfort says. Bernardus already protected his doctrine, you see, by giving an explanation. We don't lose any of the merit. Can I offer something to someone and if they don't take it, if I practice charity, even though the person does not take it, am I making sense? If I offer somebody something, they don't take it, if I practice charity toward those people or that person, yes. See, Mary cannot take away our merits, even though we offer them to her. 21, 22. Our satisfactions are the good works we perform to expiate the penalty due for our sins. Yes, that's what satisfaction means. You see, merit. The word merit has different meanings. When I merit for something good that I've done and make up for the suffering that is due from my past sins, what am I meriting? I am meriting, well, a lessening, maybe even the removal of the pain that was due to my past sins. And by the way, is what all the indulgences are. They are satisfactory merit. Number 23. By consecrating ourselves to Mary, we give her our satisfactions to be turned over to others as she sees fit. Yes, that's the language of St. Louis de Montfort. Now, you see, I wouldn't say exactly what he said. But I'm not a saint. He can get away with things that I couldn't get away with. And for years they studied St. Louis de Montfort's language, and the theologians, like myself, had all kinds of objections. And they read more of what he wrote and find out that, yes, his thinking is straight, but his language is sometimes the language of mystical hyperbole, otherwise known as spiritual exaggeration. This is important. You read things in the saints' writing sometimes. You read it again, you think it's a misprint. But another book says the same thing. I repeat, the saints have a vocabulary of their own, but they would not have been canonized if their writings elsewhere did not show that they knew what they meant. Understand? For example, and wives tell me this, Father, you should read the letters that my husband wrote to me before we married. And she even sometimes, you know, in a little box where those letters are saved. Oh, the language that he uses. I cannot live without you. Nonsense. You are the breath of my life. Nonsense. You get the logic, don't you? Number 24. Unless we make a perfect consecration of ourselves to Mary, we are not totally pleasing to God. Oh, thank you. That's false. And guess who said that? Pope Pius XII, when he canonized St. Louis, he said that. This perfect or total consecration to Mary, which is St. Louis de Montfort, he says, is not for everybody. Isn't that good to hear? I took the occasion on the day of the canonization to say that. Consecrating ourselves to the Blessed Virgin is really consecrating ourselves to Jesus Christ through His Mother Mary. Amen. That's it. While you keep that preposition through Mary. 26. We consecrate ourselves to Mary as the best means, the perfect means, the only means, because Christ has chosen to unite Himself to us. I think the best answer is number 2. But you see, again, I am thinking theologically. The word perfect does not mean what most people who talk English think it means. Perfect means complete, total, entire. But then people can differ in their degree of completeness. In other words, is it possible for a person to consecrate himself to Mary more perfectly than through the true devotion? I would say yes. In other words, this is a way which the Church has approved, and for those who have the grace, by all means. And I would say that St. Louis de Montfort will be the first one to rest. Do you think that nobody will ever come along to the end of the world with a more perfect means of consecration to Mary than yours? I can't say that. You see what I'm trying to bring out? To make sure that people do not identify, I mean the word identify, the true devotion with the only devotion to Our Lady that the Church recognizes. That's what I want to get across. 27. We consecrate ourselves to Jesus Christ as our last end. In our way to the Father as our last end, as our Redeemer and our God. Well, all three could be defended. Now, refresh my memory. Does Saint Louis de Montfort tell us how we consecrate ourselves to Jesus Christ? Does he tell us how? And he says, as our last end, is that what he says? Okay.
As our last end, two.
Please?
He says, as our last end, to Jesus Christ, as our last end, to whom we owe.
Okay. Well, if he says it, then it's the best answer for this quiz. You saw carefully I've been trained as a Jesuit. Don't disagree with people unless you have to. And when you disagree, smile. Number 28. At baptism, we receive. The best answer, of course, is sanctifying grace. Your sanctifying grace includes the virtue of faith. It includes the virtue of charity. At baptism, we receive a new being, a new existence, and we receive new powers. But more fundamental than the powers is the new existence. The new existence is sanctifying grace. The three new powers we receive are faith, hope, and charity. Number 29. The promises of baptism are made by or for the one being baptized. And that, of course, is what our Catholic faith teaches, that what millions who are not Catholic but, say, Protestant Christians, my first two converts that I received in the Catholic Church were two Baptists in their mid-20s, husband and a wife. They had never been baptized. Two Baptists. For they do not believe that baptism confers sanctifying grace. Number 30. In virtue of our baptism, we are obliged, or we are obligated to, renounce the devil, devote and consecrate ourselves to Christ, and devote ourselves wholeheartedly to Christ. What would you say is the best answer? Number? B. To devote and consecrate ourselves to Christ. Anybody else? You thought one. A. Huh? Any other opinions? Well, are we obligated to devote and consecrate ourselves to Christ? Are we? Now, which is first? Which is more important? Well, I would say, with such knowledge of theology as I have, that we should, of course, renounce the devil. But I think all three are correct. But I think the better answer, over three of them, the best, is number two. As I told my Jesuit student in class, sic puto, that's what I think. And they groaned. They did agree with my thinking. But I'm the teacher, they're the students. They got no choice. Number 31. The promises of baptism may be called vows because they are solemn and lifetime promises made to God here promises binding under sin the Ara covenant. First of all three could be said to be correct. May I ask, to refresh my memory, does St. Louis de Montfort have any opinion on this? What do you think? Solemn and lifetime. The consecration to Mary is a perfect renewal of our baptismal vows, expression of our love for the Mother of God, sacrifice of ourselves to God. Question? A, B, or C? What do you think? A. I like A. I like A. 33. We must expiate our sins. A, B, C. Which is the best answer?
A.
A. That's why I think some people live longer. They've got more sins to expiate. Number 34. By giving the value of our good works to Mary, we do not lose any merits. We actually gain extra merit. Neither lose nor gain any merits. Anybody, any idea? What do you think? You would say?
B.
B. What's B? By giving the value of our good works to Mary, we actually gain extra merit. It could be said. It could be said. 35. Our Lady is mediatrix of grace because conceived and gave birth to the author of grace and deceased for us with God. Is the Mother of Christ, who is the source of all grace, and pleased with Him, see His best. 36. Sanctifying grace is to the soul what the soul is to the body. Correct. 33. Our soul is the source of our natural and supernatural life. Natural life, supernatural life. Which is it? Please. You say, hey, our soul is the source of our natural life. That's better. B. Source of our natural life. So, that's the answer, 35? Let's see, 35. Our Lady is mediator of grace because she is the Mother of Christ. That's C, right? Then, 36, sanctifying grace is to the soul what the soul is to the body. A. 37, our soul is the source of our natural life. 38, sanctifying grace is the source of our supernatural life. B. The Blessed Virgin Mary is the mother of our spiritual life. I would prefer supernatural life. Both are correct. However, supernatural is more specific. Spiritual life can mean many things. but most fundamentally it means the supernatural life. 40, on Calvary, Christ proclaimed Mary as our mother, mother of the church, mother of the Redeemer. Well, the church, since Vatican II, says that on Calvary, Christ proclaimed Mary as mother of the church. Sorry to disappoint you. Well, that's what I read. Well, it's 2:32, and I have no more papers here. Could I assign more work? I'd like to give more work. Now, next Wednesday, what is today? 21st. Okay. So the 28th. 21st is today. 28th is 28th. I'm home in Detroit. 28th. Yes, I'm home in Detroit for a day and a half. So I'll be in. So we'll have our class and quiz. Now, if I may, you finished 40 for today. The least you can do is, let's say, 30 more, up to 75 inclusive. So from 41 through 75. And now let's say a few more words before we let you go till a quarter to, regarding devotion to Our Lady, and specifically the devotion of St. Louis de Montfort to the Blessed Virgin Mary. St. Louis de Montfort, as you know, is the modern patron of devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. What I would like to emphasize, what we touched on earlier in today's class, and that is, whatever else we learn from St. Louis de Montfort, let's make sure we learn the meaning of true devotion. In other words, and this, I know what I'm saying, many people, most people, make the consecration, practice devotions of piety to Our Lady, have read and maybe even memorized parts of Louis de Montfort, do not realize that St. Louis's focus is not precisely on devotion to Mary. His focus is on the true devotion to Mary. In other words, the meaning of, sometimes called the demand for devotion, the meaning is not locked up in the word devotion. It is rather in the word true. And we will say more next time we meet, because I want to go on for 10 minutes today, and then I have to get back home. But our present Holy Father is just, you might say, going out of his way to promote devotion to the Blessed Virgin. Even his shorter homilies, his Wednesday homilies in St. Peter's, I have never read a single sermon, a single document that the present Pope wrote. I don't remember one in which he doesn't at least end up with Our Lady. However, how well I know, in order to practice the true devotion, it must be interior. And remember, I kept repeating the preposition through. The true devotion is devotion to Jesus Christ, but through His mother. In other words, the devotion does not stop with her. It rather goes through her and goes on to her son. But what St. Louis is at such pains to point out is not, I repeat, I cannot tell you how misunderstood St. Louis de Montfort is. I know. And over the years I've taught de Montfort priests. I've counseled them. And yet I say to myself, if only those who in their generosity, you know, make the consecration, some even repeat it every day, which is beautiful, but not realize what this really means. In other words, what St. Louis was at pains to not just point out, but insist on, is that devotion, let me change, I don't want to use the preposition to, that Marian devotion, the true devotion, is only as true as it is like Mary's devotion to her son. In other words, in this, and nowadays, how many books and articles are being written about Our Lady? And now even the feminists, I mean, these are the wild feminists, even they are talking about Our Lady because they know everybody else is. Well, the true devotion is devotion through Mary to Christ. It is devotion like Mary to Christ. It is the devotion with Mary to Christ. It is devotion in the company of Mary toward Christ. It is devotion that is modeled on Mary's devotion to Christ. Once a person realizes that, then, and only then, and I know what I am saying. In fact, I got a letter yesterday. I heard about Alice von Hildebrand. She's the wife of Dietrich von Hildebrand, who died some years ago. His wife is quite a writer and speaker. Well, she was supposed to go to Fatima to give some conferences at Fatima, Portugal, in August. I got a call from Father Miller's office in Washington, New Jersey, and I was informed that Dr. Alice von Hildebrand is very ill. She will not be able to make it. Could you, ask me, would you take her place? I looked at my calendar and I was supposed to either the chapter of contemplative nuns in that week to help with their chapter. So I said, I'm tied up. How could you possibly make a change in your schedule? So I called up the Mother General of the monastery, and well, she whatever she had to do, but she said okay. So I got a letter yesterday, and I'm supposed to go to Portugal. I've never been to Fatima. Have you been to Fatima? Your sister been to Fatima?
No.
Gee, we're all in the same boat. Father, if you want to take my place, give conferences. So, at any rate,
I gave the Novena on Fatima here. You think I'm ready?
But because I never make pilgrimages. I never make trips. I did my studies in Rome. I've been working with the Holy See now 21 years. I have yet to visit the Vatican Museum. I've never been to the Vatican Library. There's work to do, I go. They assure me there's work to do. And one of my hopes is to find out at Fatima, 10 days that I'm supposed to be there, you know, what they need. In any case, the bottom line of devotion to Our Lady is imitating the virtues of Our Lady. That's it. And there's a lot of homework that has to be done. A lot of homework. I'm not discouraging, believe me. Prayers to Our Lady. I memorized enough of them myself. Oh, by the way, I've done this only once in my life. If anybody disagrees, I won't do it. Of course, not everybody is here either to disagree. What I would like to do is to have you, by the end of the month of May, give me in writing the Litany of Our Lady by heart. Any of you know the Litany of Our Lady by heart? I'll tell you what. I think Our Lady would be pleased. Don't you think so? Let me tell you. The last time I gave the assignment, I had 60 students in class in Virginia. I'm not exaggerating. I got 60 versions of the Litany of Our Lady. No, two of them agreed. Oh, the invocations to Our Lady I've never heard of. How about it? Look, all you have to do is you have to want to memorize. Keep repeating, you see. And you stumble over, well then you pick up again. So, and over the years it has been very valuable to know certain prayers to Our Lady by heart. And remember, in the Litany of Our Lady now we have the invocation, Mother of the Church. Remember? Who knows where that comes? Mother of Christ, Mother of the Church, and what's next? Mother of Divine Grace. Well, do your best. See how many versions I get. Well, that's... It is a quarter of, so... Then, I give you your homework tonight from 40 to 75, right? And just hold on to them now until I get the whole batch, all 100 questions together. In omine patris et filio spiritus sancti. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Santa Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae, amen. Regina, sine laude virginale concepta, in omine patris et filio spiritus sancti, amen.